Welcome to Soulful Streaming. I'm Tina.
And I'm Allie. And we are connecting you with the wisest souls to help you build a deeper connection with your mind, body, and soul.
So let's get to it. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Soulful Streaming. We have a very special episode today. Today, we're being joined by Luisa LaCava, who is a ridiculously talented astrologer based in Barcelona, Spain. Allie and I have been working with Luisa for nearly a year now, and we're really honored to have her on our show. What you guys are going to learn today is you're going to learn a little bit more about your natal chart. Now, a natal chart is the date, the exact time, and the location that you were born, where the planets were in that moment in time. Helps you understand your sun sign, your rising sign, and your moon sign, which together can help you map out your life, your personality, your likes, your dislikes, your quirks, what makes you you. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk also about the Saturn return, and that is when Saturn comes back into your orbit. That usually happens between 2 to 3 times in a person's life. And I can tell you personally that my Saturn return probably happened in one of the largest transitions I ever had in my life, which we'll talk about in the episode. And then finally, our gift to you is Luisa actually took a look at the full year. What can we expect from 2022? And more so for the last half of the year, because we're already in August. Now, we interviewed Luisa in March, a week after the war in Ukraine started. So the energy, as we all know, was heavy, filled with fear and sorrow and pain and suffering. And what I can tell you that you will gain from listening to this episode is that the darker the shadow, the brighter the light. And we are moving closer and closer to that light based on where the planets are. And for us, that gave us an incredible sense of hope and optimism, and knowing that there are tools that we can use to help us understand where the world is and where it's going is just such a gift. So take a listen, share this episode if you like it, and we really appreciate you guys all tuning in. So with that, let's start streaming. Luisa, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tina. Hi, Allie. Thank you for having me here. It's a big pleasure to be here with you. On Women's Day, celebrating Women's Day too. So all the luck in the world for this podcast and, well, for both of you too.
Thank you. We're going to start streaming. So, Luisa, for our listeners, and for those who may know a little bit or may not know a little bit, tell us, what is a natal chart? Like, what is a natal chart reading?
So technically, the natal chart is a picture of what was going on in the sky at the moment you took your first breath. In astrology, we always say, no, as above, so below, as within, so without. So basically, this is the law of correspondence in between all things in the world. No, and according to this, the chart is this macroscopic view, no, this bigger picture of what we bring, who we are, skills we have, talents we have, and also part of our mission and lessons and things that we're also here to learn. No, so I like calling it the metrics. There is a very cool book called Cosmos and Psyche, and this was one of the first books I read when I was starting to dive deeper into astrology. And this is a book that talks about the correspondence, knowing between human psychology and the cosmos, so cosmology. Now we're also made of stars. Everything is interconnected in the universe. And this is how the interpretation of the chart, well, comes from too, in a way. I also like seeing astrology as the clock of the world. It's a way of understanding life and life cycles, much more related to nature than our Gregorian calendar in a way. So I think knowing your chart better is I think it's a reminder. No, it's a good reminder of who we are, what we bring, the skills we have.
So when we look at the natal chart, right? For example, I know I'm a Virgo. I know Allie's a Capricorn.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned in the intro, like, you helped us dive deeper to understand our moon sign, our rising sign, the ascendant sign. So if we take a look at the chart, can you kind of unpack it for us a little bit? What are some of the signs we should be looking at, and what do they mean? And which ones are the most important for us to really lean into and learn about?
Okay. So a chart has many layers. So when we start breaking a chart down, I think we can look at many different things. You know? So for example, the planets, you know, the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, you know, we have all these planets, and we're not just the sun, no, we're not just the moon. So sometimes people have their sun sign in one sign, but the rest of the chart packed in another sign. And then I think this other sign will resonate much more than the sun sign. So I think it's interesting to understand your chart so you can know, well, what are all these energies that are working on your chart? You know? So for example, I think, of course, planets are important, and it's interesting to have a look, you know? And well, the signs, the elements, you know? the energy, if it's cardinal, fixed, mutable, you know? The three modalities that we call in astrology, this is interesting too. Also, there is the house system, you know? The houses are the scenarios, you know, where things live, well, where things happen, you know, in life. So we have the wheel of the year, you know, this circle, the astrological circle, divided in 12. And it's interesting to see which houses are, well, more active, you know, in your chart. It depends. I've never seen two charts the same. So this is something that is, it's very unique, you know, to each one's chart. Also, it's interesting to have a look at the angles of the charts. You know? So, for example, the rising sign is an angle of the chart. It's not a planet. It's a place in the chart. You know? It's where the wheel starts, where house one starts. So sometimes there is a planet. If there is a planet there, then this becomes stronger. You know? It's an important area of the chart to pay attention. You know? So the angles are the rising sign, the descendant, rising sign AC, descendant DC. No, you can try, and there are many different ways, no, to see your chart in free apps and free websites. So if you look for this points in the wheel, it's also important to see. No, AC DC, rising sign, also known as ascendant, and descendant DC, and then MC, midheaven, and EC, immun coelium, the bottom of the chart. No, so these four points are important, and sometimes when there are planets there, they become even more important. Yeah, I think it's interesting to at least once in a lifetime have someone to help you do this, and then after that you can really navigate on your own and do some research. I think that it's easier, no? But I don't know. I've learned many things by myself, so I also think it's interesting when people want to do this work. No, I think it's an interesting work to do.
Yeah, definitely. And that's such a great answer and such a great insight. So when you read our charts, again, I said this like five times, but I knew I was a Virgo. So in my mind, I was like, I'm not as rigid as I think Virgos are. Like, yes, I'm a perfectionist. Yes, I'm all about, you know, Mother Nature and community and earth, but there's just like this whimsical side of me. Like it felt misplaced until we met. And I learned that my rising sign is actually Sagittarius, which for me explained why I love travel, why I'm obsessed with different cultures, why in order for me to relax, I need to get away from my day-to-day life. I can't just stay at home and unplug and watch TV. I need to physically get out of that space. So with our horoscope, the day we were born, our sign, but then rising sign. So should I also be reading my rising signs like monthly astrology? Like, should I be taking a look at both and matching them together?
I like to have a look at both. I personally read my moon, my sun, and my rising sign. And then I see sometimes one will resonate more than the other. For example, Tina has, well, you have so many planets in Virgo. When you read your sun sign, it should resonate, you know? But some people have just their sun in a sign, and then three or four other planets in one same sign. So sometimes it's interesting to read that sign too, not just the sun sign. This is something that happens. No, I see many people complaining, you know, like, but I really don't resonate very much with my sun sign. And then they do with the moon or with the rising. No, so this is something that, well, you can know better once you have your chart in front of you. And I also really like to observe, like, the elements in the chart too. I think that there is a lot to, actually, Jung was the one who started to study this relationship in between the elements and astrology. He's the father of psychological astrology. And I think it's very beautiful to know. So sometimes people have their sun sign in an earth sign, but then the rest of the chart is in water signs. So water is the most important element of this chart, you know, and this changes everything. You know? So I think that this is interesting to have a look at, and it's not that difficult to do.
That's beautiful. And, you know, one of our reasons for starting this podcast and, you know, what our listeners are coming to us for is help me identify the right sources of inspiration, or the soulful stream, as Allie and I call it, to help me understand myself better, to help me understand my life purpose better, to help me understand, like, either it's my next day or my next week or my next month. Would you say that getting your natal chart read helps you get a little bit closer to what your life's purpose should be? Now, I know it's a big question.
In my opinion, for sure. And I totally agree. I think the natal chart is a map, you know, of what we bring and who we are. And I think in a way it can help us connect with our best version too. You know, I think it's important to know where you get out of balance. You know, and it's interesting because you can see both. You can see the light and the shadow. You know, and I think that the best version of who we are is the integration of these two polarities. You know, so I think it's interesting to know what is this version of you that is working great when you're in balance, but what happens when you're also out of balance, you know? And I think that the chart can also connect you with that area too. And I think that this is important, you know? It's nice to know the light and the shadow. Now we get both. Now we get the good and the bad. Although I don't like calling it good or bad, I don't think that, yeah, it's interesting to see these in charts. We can see so many things, you know, in a natal chart. We can see family, career, talents, life purpose, or also, yes, skills. If that person is more community oriented or more of the energy of an entrepreneur or someone who could work as a therapist, you know, so I can see this very clearly in charts. And I think time also brought me this confirmation, you know, because sometimes I was having a look at someone's chart and I was like, whoa, this must be the chart of someone who is working with service, for example, you know, or with health or with arts. And most of the time, well, if that person didn't work with it, she had a big interest, you know, in these things. So with time, I also had this confirmation. And this is beautiful to see too.
That's awesome. And I'm going to sum it up for our listeners, because I think you said it beautifully when you said that your natal chart is a map that helps you understand all that you are and all that you can be. Like, that's really powerful, to have a gift that you're sharing with the world to help us understand who we are today and who we can be tomorrow with that insight. So I love that. A couple more questions before we pivot into the next part of our conversation. And that is, one, how do you find reading your natal chart, say, in comparison to your partner, your kids? Like, are you able to see, like, you guys are compatible, you're not compatible? Or how does that work when you, like, say you read in relation to your partner?
So I think astrology is a great tool to put things in relationship. You know? So basically, astrology is the relationship in between what is above and what is here, you know, happening on Earth. You know, so I think everything has a natal chart. For example, the day well, natal chart is not the date of your birth, but the date that you were married. For example, this also has a chart. The day someone dies, for example, this also has a chart. Also, the day this podcast is being launched also has a chart. And I have the chart of today and the chart of right now are already here. I was already looking at it.
But basically,
I think it's very beautiful to put two charts together. Now, this is called synastry, no, technically. This is a third chart coming out of these two persons' chart. Now, and I think it's also very beautiful for caretakers, now, to know how to raise that kid in a more conscious way. Now, I think it's interesting to know how to communicate or how to relate, now, to kids and teenagers too. I think that the chart, it's so big what we can do with astrology. No, I think that it's very powerful, and also you can apply it to many different things. And so I personally don't believe that there are good or bad relationships. No, I think that there are those relationships that flow in an easier way, and they sometimes are the charts that have more things in common in a way. No, but I think that there are also those lessons that are great lessons, no, that we have coming from relationships that are hard too. No, and sometimes these charts are not so compatible. The flow of the relationship is not so easy, but what we can learn from that other person is so big and so important that I think it's also interesting to consider this kind of relationships too. No, I think the other is always mirroring us, no? Some stuff that we might not like to see too. No, projections. I see this a lot in charts, no? People who are struggling, no, in relationships or with mother, with kids, no? And I think it's interesting the insights that can come out of these sessions too.
That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll just share a little bit of my experience working with you. I always had identified with my sun sign, Capricorn. And then working with you, I realized that I actually have a lot of fire and not a lot of earthy, more fire than earth. And you had this wonderful analogy that I'm not the mountain, I am actually a volcano. And for me, it really helped me realize how I can apply certain things to my career, that, you know, maybe for me, I can get frustrated if I'm not allowed to creatively express, and I can explode. And also too, you know, like you kind of talked about how historically people look at horoscopes in terms of like relationship compatibility, and I am married to a Sagittarius, and he has a lot of Sagittarius in his chart. And my stepson was actually born on the same day, around 30 years later. So I was very interested, and you kind of helped us to layer on and see what the differences between their charts were and how we can kind of interact together, maybe where some friction would happen. And it was mind-blowing. So I really, really enjoy that. I know that you can help a lot of people kind of just ease into their careers or maybe make some career changes. And I think it's super helpful during times of transition. So kind of zooming out, we wanted to talk about like, what are some of the influences of astrology on society as a whole? So you mentioned that it's International Women's Day today, we're recording, but we're also in this state of crisis given the war in the Ukraine. And we recognize that there's this sort of heaviness around us. So I kind of went down this stream, and I heard about this so-called changing of the gods. What it really relates to, or my understanding of it, is this 12-year cycle where Pluto and Uranus, they're either in conjunction, square, or opposition, that leads to these sort of world transits or periods of time where there's social and political change. You alluded to this in one of our sessions, that there's something kind of coming up in the forecast. Maybe that's the timing when the Berlin Wall fell. Can you kind of touch on that a little bit with kind of what's going on and how these types of interactions can, you know, cause these moments in time.
I think astrology has been super intense since 2019. Now, it started in January. We call it the triple conjunction. So we had a big conjunction in the sign of Capricorn, the sign of structure, the sign that rules governments. So we had Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars there too. So this was when pandemic started, basically. And from this big event, there were some other, things related to that too. And for example, last year was the year that Saturn was in Aquarius and still is in Aquarius, squaring Uranus in Taurus. So we had three exact squares, one in February, one in July, one in December. Very much related when we had rises in cases of COVID, when we had things shutting down, and all the restrictions that we have seen. It's beautiful to observe and to understand how things work, because I think in a way astrology is very much related to cycles in nature, in life, in society too. Sometimes we want to know the future, but in astrology, most of the times we can find moments in the past where what we're living today has already happened. And I think that we can also get a lot of information from these two. So for example, the last time this triple conjunction happened was in World War II. So it's a conjunction that is very much related with crisis and changes. Well, it's interesting because there's many heavy things going on, but there are also very beautiful and positive things going on too. There is a sentence of Jung that says, the darker the shadow, the brighter the light. So I think that we're still purging all these toxicity and changes that we need to see in the world. This year is a year that is very much related with Neptune and Uranus too. Uranus is the god of change, the god of revolution, and Neptune very much related with spirituality, Pisces, sacrifice, with dissolving things and allowing new things to emerge, from the shadow, from the water. So I think that we are in a big transition, and I think that we can all feel that, so we still have some bad and negative things to fall and to come up, but I want to believe that there is a lot of growth going on too. I think I see many people changing and making positive changes. And I see this too in children, in kids and all these beings that are coming, with such a beautiful high energy. They're the voices of the future too. I see this in their astrology too. So I don't know. I think it's interesting because last week I had a look at Putin's chart, Putin's NATO chart. And he has his sun in the 12th house in Libra, and his rising is in Scorpio. So it's interesting because the eclipses are now happening in Scorpio. The south node is in Scorpio, in a way purging all the negativity that might come from shadow Scorpio, that is very much related with power abuse, misuse of power, greed, all that we see that is going on, I think I told this to Ellie, but on the 12th of April we're gonna have a very beautiful positive transit. Jupiter will be together with Neptune in Pisces. No, so I think it's a time to dream big, no, and to think about all that we want to create and all that we don't want to take with us too. No. It's interesting because last week Mars and Venus were conjunct in Capricorn too. No, and this is something that happens every 2 years. No, so but Mars and Venus, they're what we call the cosmic couple, no, the sacred marriage of the sky. So I also see this as something beautiful too, no? So we're here to balance, no, our feminine and our masculine energies. We're here to, you know, to meet in the middle, no, and make peace out of our differences. So what Ali was mentioning, you know, about the fall of Berlin Wall, this happened in 1989. And this happened the last time that Jupiter was conjunct with Neptune. Now, this is, Jupiter is a social planet. Now, Jupiter is expansion, dreaming big, risking, but also believing that things are possible, that things can be done. And Neptune is spirituality. Neptune rules art, music, feelings, magic, you know. So I think that this conjunction that happens in April is gonna bring a bit of hope, I would say, you know, to all that we're seeing happen in the world.
That's great. That's great. Well, we're hopeful.
Right? Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. So kind of zooming back in and tying astrology back to where it can be applied to the individual, this year Adele came out with a new album, and Tina and I tuned in. We were texting the whole time when she had her premiere concert somewhere in LA. All the celebrities were there dancing. But we noticed that she had these Saturn earrings and then she had this Saturn tattoo. And this was new. We had never seen this before. So, of course, we kind of went down the stream. We Googled, and then there it was. She wrote the album about her Saturn return. So my question to you is, what are some of these themes that you can look for in your chart that are kind of these formative years that maybe present themselves in certain types of cycles in the life cycle?
So, wow, I didn't know that that she had this album. I'm going to listen. I'm curious now. Thank you for the information. So basically, Saturn is a planet that is very much related with responsibility, maturity, with, I like to call it, maybe sometimes it's the inspector, you know, that arrives and make the checklist, you know. So have you done that? Did you do that? No, I think it's Saturn rules Capricorn, you know. So these are connected energies in a way, you know. Saturn, I think many people see the Saturn return as something negative, and I don't like to see it that way. You know, of course, it will shake you and it will change things, but I think it will help you break this cage, this structure that is not fitting anymore, so you can build a better one. You know, and of course, this process sometimes is painful, or sometimes is showing us, well, these areas that we're struggling or with, where we don't want to grow, where we don't want to change, you know, our attachments, our fears, you know, actually feeling rigid, feeling scared is the lowest energy of Capricorn and Saturn too. So technically the Saturn return is when your natal Saturn meets where Saturn is today. You know, so for example, right now Saturn is in Aquarius, no? So people who have natal Saturn in Aquarius, they're gonna live their Saturn return during these years, no? And Saturn stays 3 years in one sign, no? So this is a transit that has three layers, you know. The first year is where you see the problem, you know, where you see that something is not working, something needs to be changed. And the second year, most of the time, is when you start rearranging your life, you know? And the third year, so the end of the process, is when you probably connect with something beautiful coming from this process too, you know? So Saturn is not bad and Saturn is not negative. At the end, he's helping you achieve what you need to achieve, you know? And I had a teacher that always said that Saturn's gift comes always in the end of the process. And this is very much related with this Capricornian energy, you know, to work hard, to do little by little, but every day a little bit until you reach the top of the mountain, you know? So I think the third year, that the end of the process, is where you can really look back and see that the Saturn return took you out of those places that you didn't have to be there anymore, and those relationships that were not helping you anymore, you know? So it's interesting to be able to look back and see the process as a whole, you know, although it might be painful in the beginning, you know? And I think that there are some people that struggle more and some others that struggle less with Saturn. It depends on the chart, you know? So for example, people with a lot of Earth, they tend to have this natural responsibility, this natural capacity, you know, to be practical and organize things and make things function. So they don't struggle as much as someone, for example, with a lot in Cancer, you know, or with a lot in Pisces, or with a lot in Aquarius, you know, would struggle with Saturn. I see these two. Not everyone sees this process as something similar. You know, it depends. And then you have to see in which house of your chart this falls, you know, because this is normally where you will see all the changes going on. I don't know where Adele has Saturn in her chart. If you want, I can...
It would be interesting to look at.
Definitely. Can I ask one follow-up question on that?
Yeah.
Does Saturn change position every year? Like, what is the cadence? Is it 3 years?
So Saturn takes from 28 and a half until 30 years to make one full spin on the zodiac wheel. You know? So basically, it stays for 3 years in one same sign. And then it's interesting because these are the ages where we have Saturn return going on. You know? So in between 28 and 30s, you know, this is the first Saturn return. But then there are these ages that, for example, when Saturn comes back, no, the Saturn return is a conjunction. So you have your natal Saturn together with where Saturn is right now. But when you have the opposition and when you have a square, these are also moments to observe too. And this happens... Well, so first you have it squaring after 7 years, no, so 7, 14, and 28. These are the years, no, and this happens again. So you have the second Saturn return, yes, in between 56 and 60s. No, this is the second Saturn return. And then you have the third one. And each one is related with reaching another level of maturity, of wisdom. No, so the light of Saturn is very much related with being wise, with being mature. No, so Saturn is a negative. No, the light of shadow is the light of Saturn is super important in a way. The thing is that I think it's misunderstood in a way too.
I think it's interesting that it's 28 years too, because 28 is a typical cycle for female cycles. I think that's interesting.
Oh yeah, 28 days.
So it must be a very feminine energy.
That's a great connection.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it depends on the chart, but it takes 28 and a half until 30s. You know, so some people have it when they're 29, some people have it when they're 30s. And it's interesting because you can feel the process coming. It's not something that, oh, today I have my Saturn return. No, you will feel it like 6 months earlier. And then 6 months after, no? So you can really see the the changes and the things now happening. It's not, and this happens to all big transits, you know? So when you have a transit with Uranus, with Saturn, with Neptune, with Pluto, you know? So all these planets that are far away from Earth, they move very slowly. For example, then Mercury, then Mars, then Venus, you know? So it's interesting because it's not something that you wake up one day and say, no, I'm done. No, it takes a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, easy on you. So, if you wouldn't mind, could you tell us in a few words? I know that you've read both Tina and I's charts and kind of read them together. Maybe you don't have them live in front of you now, but what in our charts would indicate that a volcano woman and a type A double Virgo would be great podcast hosts?
So Tina is a great communicator, you know? So Virgo is ruled by Mercury. Mercury is very much related with the mind, with how we think, with how we function in a logical way, you know? Although Gemini is the other sign that is ruled by Mercury and is more associated with communication, you know? Tina has Mercury at her midheaven, you know? So she is, you know, a natural communicator. No, she has this ability, you know, to use communication as a tool to connect people, you know, to make people understand each other better. And I like the way Virgos do it, you know, because Virgo is a sign that can really see the strategy, you know, really see how and be really practical, you know, too. So I think that this is a big combo, you know, in her chart. And with you, Ali, so your sun is in Capricorn, and I think Virgo and Capricorn, it's like, you know, it's very easy, you know, I think it work will flow very well, you know, in between both of you, you know, super practical, super easy. And then you add all the fire, both of you have fire, because her rising sign is also Sagittarius, and your rising is also Sagittarius too, so I think it's the combination of fire and earth, you know? So earth is all the capacity that you have to plan things and make things function in a practical way, and then fire, you know? So creativity, enthusiasm, the truth, you know? The spirit, you know? Or willing to know more, willing to understand more. Sagittarius is also this sign that is very much related with politics, religion, philosophy, teaching. It's a big match.
Good. It's awesome to hear. It's like our souls kind of mapped it out for us before we decided to come here on Earth, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we were friends when we were children too, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we were both old souls.
Totally. Totally. Connected on different planes. Yeah. Okay. So Louisa, what we love to do with our guests, we want to make sure that our listeners get a chance to get to know you a little bit more. So this is our closing of a little soulful streaming session. Couple questions for you. Okay. So when you're seeking inspiration, like astrological inspiration, where do you go to?
I love to read. I love to read. I really like reading. And I think that after I decided to study astrology, I read a lot. So I have a big list of books that I love, you know? So for example, Liz Green's books, you know, she's a great astrologist. She's a great one. Also Demetra George. No, I think that she's also a great astrologist. I really like to read her. I think astrology can be so here up in the mind sometimes. No, it's really mental, a lot of information. So sometimes I really enjoy relating it to meditations or to more embodied practices. No, and this is something that I've learned with Divine Harmony. I did a shadow work course with her. But I know that she's right now working with embodied astrology, and I think that this is so important for these times, you know, that we are always here up in the mind, technology, information, internet, scroll down. Oh, this is interesting. And during last year, I also did a breathwork training with a person I really admire. Her name is Catalina. You can find her with, well, she uses In Breath, you know, for Instagram, and it was really nice too. I think she's amazing. And right now I'm back to studies. Now I'm studying again with one of my favorite astrologists, and she is also an art therapist. Now I'm also studying art therapy, so I want to combine these things, well, all these things now in the future. And this, she is a great inspiration to me. Her name is Paloma Todd Montes, and she's from Puerto Rico, but she lived in Barcelona for many years, and well, this is where I met her. And I think that's enough, because I also became a mother last year. So in the middle of all these, I also have a small baby to take care of that changed my routine and my personal practices now completely. So this is all that I'm doing right now. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love how all of your, you know, your sources of inspiration all make you better at what you do in service for others. So that's really, really special.
Yeah.
Just a couple more quick ones since we have just a few more minutes left. Luisa, how do you know when your soul is streaming? And I'll step back and define that. So obviously this podcast is called Soulful Streaming. And for Allie and I, what that means is, when do you know you're in a state of flow? You're present, you're activating all of your senses, and you are on this purposeful path to where you should be going. So that's how we define soulful streaming. So with that in mind, when do you know that your soul is streaming?
I really pay attention to small synchronicities, you know, that life brings. And sometimes these small signs can come in the most ridiculous situations, you know, to me. I think these insights and this feeling, you know, that things are where they should be, you know, that we are on our path. It can happen anywhere, you know, when we're eating something, or when we're having a shower, you know, or when we're sleeping, or sometimes dreams, you know. I think I pay a lot of attention to these small details, you know, and I try to be aware to identify when this precious information is coming, you know, because sometimes we're so no, and we're so busy doing so many things and paying attention to all the big list of things that we have to do, no, and it's hard to see. But this is something that I started to change a couple of months ago, no. So I had a baby last year, and I also moved twice, no. So basically my life changed a lot, and I was struggling, you know, like I didn't have a lot of time. I was super tired. I wasn't sleeping as well as I used to. So I started to say thank you, you know, for all the things that I had, instead of complaining, you know, to all that I, the things that I didn't have on the time, you know. So being present to me is one of the most important ingredients, you know, to be able to listen now to this inner voice we have that is telling us now and reminding us now where we should be. So, yeah.
That's absolutely beautiful. And it has been an honor. It has been a delight to have you on our show as our first guest. So Luisa, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. Guys, we're going to include all of the information that Luisa talked about, the author she referenced, how to find her on Instagram at Luisa LaCava, and also your website, luisalacava.com. What she didn't mention, she's also a pretty incredible photographer. So you're going to have to check out her site with all that great photography. And please, guys, get in touch with her. She's, again, rocked our world, helped us become more of ourselves, and obviously helped us recognize that a podcast pairing between a Virgo and a Capricorn with, you know, Rising Sagittarius will work.
Yeah.
Luisa, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for soulful streaming with us, and have an awesome, awesome night.
No, thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Hi, listeners. It's Allie. Thank you for streaming with us today. If you enjoyed the show and want to show your support, please leave a review, subscribe to get notifications on new episodes, or share it with your loved ones on your preferred social media outlet. If you are not sure how, please reach out to us on Instagram at Soulful Streaming, and we are happy to help. Please enjoy this instrumental piece inspired by the show, written and recorded by Aubrey Mabel. Until next time, this is Soulful Streaming.